You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
USB microphones and headphones provided by CAD Audio. CAD Audio, expression through innovation.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best man.
With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what we need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
Welcome to Mighty Marvel Geeks. It's another issue. It's, I believe, issue 81, 82. I don't remember which at the moment.
You're driving this boat. Shouldn't you know?
I know, but...
It looks like... You know what? The tab says 81.
You know what? It just doesn't matter.
Trust the tab.
It just doesn't matter because you go to Marvel.com, they got a couple sneak previews of Guardians of the Galaxy animated,
uh-huh.
And there's a planet of Groots.
Say what?
A planet of Groots.
So the issue number is invalid.
At this point in time, because it's all Groot.
It's all Groot.
It's all Groot.
It's all Groot.
So the voices you are hearing...
We are Groot.
So the voices you are hearing is Eric, of course. Kylan, of course.
Hey.
Myself, Mike, and the agent in training, Mac. How are you guys doing?
It's your turn to yo-ho. That'll work.
All right, that's good. Oh, I'm good, man.
So what are we going to talk about?
are we going to do this right now?
Yes.
So first topic of the night.
Okay,
guys.
Where we left off last week.
Yeah,
Channing Tatum.
Who was responsible for writing what we're talking about tonight? Yes, I'm putting it all on him.
Okay. All right, guys. Kylan, Mike.
Not you yet.
I want y'all to give me your best guess as to the amount of money that the Fantastic Flop has generated worldwide since it premiered a week ago.
So U.S. and international.
We are counting both U.S. and international.
And we're talking as of today.
As of right now. We are taping this show. We're recording this show on Thursday night, the 13th of August.
Okay. Mike, do you want to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay, now, I have not, since Sunday, I have not looked at numbers.
Okay, just give me the number off the top of your head.
So, and we're talking international and
worldwide.
I will say... In Canada, too?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Worldwide and Canada.
Okay, I will make adjustments for the Canadian dollar. I will say... I'm going to go with 60 million.
Okay, Mike?
I'm going to say 58 million.
Okay.
Not for me.
Mac, I want you to tell Mike and Kylan and everybody listening to this show how much the Fantastic Flop has pulled in worldwide and Canada.
As of August 13th.
Yes, as of August 13th, 2015.
More than I expected.
Well, yes. Why don't you tell them?
$66.649 million and 121.
Yeah.
Ooh.
$66 million and change.
Ooh.
Worldwide.
Like
and
I said,
Canada.
More than I expected.
$5.02. Ant-Man did that domestically. Well, okay, a little less than that. Domestically, the first weekend.
Yeah, first weekend, Ant-Man was 58 mil.
Right? So, yeah, it was a little less, but
well,
wow.
Okay, international.
Yeah, internationally, it was like around 100.
100 and something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, good Lord.
Basically, what we're talking about, it's almost an even split. Domestic, according to thenumbers.com, it has raked in 32.5 million. And internationally, it has ranked 34.1 million.
Okay, so
it's pretty much stinking worldwide as it is domestic.
So since
the worldwide part.
I knew there's a reason that we had you on the show this week.
So
you heard it here first, folks. The Fantastic Four is a worldwide fart.
Flop too.
Yeah
that too.
Maybe it was a silent but deadly. I don't know.
Very silent.
Oh, I, ooh. See, okay. A buddy of mine suggested that we all wait until this stinker gets to the dollar theater and just for the sake of, I don't know, watching a train wreck, we go all get together and go see it.
No.
Only if we go afterwards and ask for our money back.
There you go. Well, you know, the thing is, it's right down the street from a wing place. If I'm able to get wings out of the deal, I think I'm willing to give up a dollar. But yeah. I will probably sit in the back row and play my Marvel Puzzler game or fall asleep. Or both. I don't know.
Well, the sound coming from Fox right now.
Oh, that was just... Yeah. Oh.
If you're Fox right now, what do you do?
Reply back.
Something I would do.
Sounds like something you did right before we went on the air.
And then you check your shorts after.
What we're saying is Fantastic Flop is a skid mark. A cinematic skid mark.
Yeah. Oh. I mean the Captain America movie back in the 90s, the one with the really bad
Frank Langella. No, that was He-Man. No, it was Frank Langella is the Red Skull.
That is Red Skull. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one.
Oh god, that was horrible graphics too. I've got that movie.
Yeah.
I had the 90s one. I also had the Doc Strange one too.
You got the Doc Strange one from the was it the late 70s early 80s?
Yeah, the 70s TV movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. I would say that maybe those fared better than this movie. I don't know.
Well, on Rotten Tomatoes, Batman and Robin fares better than this one.
I walked out of Batman and Robin mad, and I got to see that one for free. Serious.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
See, what's the rating on Rotten Tomatoes? Oh, 9%.
Is it still 9?
It's
either 9 or 10.
I'll find out here in a second.
Oh, man.
Yes.
You know, I think Milli Vanilli did a little bit better even when everybody found out that they were lip syncing.
Actually, I have an update.
Uh-huh.
The Fantastic Flop on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
8%.
Oh, snap. It dropped.
Just when you thought it couldn't get worse. So, again, what do you do if you're Fox?
I don't know, Eric. What do you do if you're Fox?
Well... First off, I would start hushing people up because first you start off with Trank going, "Oh, this movie would have been a better movie if Fox didn't cut out three big scenes, and my movie was 10 times better." And then what does he do? He releases B-roll to try and back it up. And what's the B-roll? Footage of him shooting scenes on a green screen. Josh Trank, if you're listening, that's called bonus features.
Yeah,
not B-roll to be used to back up. Oh, this is why my film would have been better.
Okay, no, Josh Trank, if you're listening, just remember, though I suspect you're finding this out already, the studio can throw you under the bus a whole lot better than you can throw them.
Oh, but it gets even better.
Oh, really?
This comes from a website, which I'm going to have to start following this website because I kind of like the name. This comes from Nerd. I know this is a Disney radio station podcast side. Yeah, whatever. Comes from a website called nerdbastards.com.
I like it. I gotta follow
again,
that.
It's I can't control the name of their site, so I apologize ahead of time. That's why I gave the disclaimer ahead of time. But according to an article from their site, the dam breaks. Fantastic Four crew talk about the shoot. The crew?
The crew.
The crew.
I come from that part of the world.
You're talking like Iggy, the guy with the gaffing tape and the microphone boom.
I love their opening line in their paragraph. It doesn't rain, but it pours. Those six words might describe the reaction to Fantastic Four, which opened in theaters over a week ago, to a resounding thud.
Actually, I think it did more this.
Go ahead, Mac.
I think it did more this, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
See what I started?
Oh, wait. Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't supposed to say it that way. So according to, we'll now say NB.com, just to shorten it, they say, according to the Hollywood Reporter, if the production wasn't doomed from the word go, then it was darn close. First off, the reports of Josh Trank trashing a rented house while shooting Fantastic Four in Baton Rouge is true.
Oh!
About $100,000 in damage was done. And then when the landlord tried to evict Trank, he defaced several family photos in the house.
Oh,
all right.
That's just stupid.
Was this guy 12?
The landlord then went to the sheriff's department.
No, this guy is 12. Trank just acts like it.
Oh, my gosh.
The landlord went to the sheriff's department.
Uh-huh.
And according to the sheriff's department, it's a closed civil matter between landlord and tenant.
I would love to sit in on that case.
One source did not speak well of Trank's on-set behavior. He holed up in the tent and cut himself off from everybody. He built a black tent around his monitor, said another crew member. He was extremely withdrawn, and between scenes, he would go to his trailer and he wouldn't interact with anyone. But, oh, it's Fox's fault.
Yeah.
When Trank was communicating on set, his direction was extremely controlling. What does he think he is, in Second Coming of George Lucas? During takes, he would be telling cast members when to blink and when to breathe, one person said. He kept pushing them to make the performance as flat as possible.
Wow.
I think he succeeded.
I think he did.
Now, Fox itself, not blameless, says those in the know, according to one source, Fantastic Four was ill-conceived and made for the wrong reasons, and there was no vision behind the property.
Gee, that sounds a lot like what we said when we first heard this stuff was in the works.
Yeah.
Fox executives were afraid of losing the rights, so they pressed forward and didn't surround Trank with enough help or fire him. They burned their heads. They buried their heads in the sand.
I was hearing that from the start, that was the motivation behind this movie, was that Fox was in danger of losing the rights, and so they just threw something together.
Well, we knew that the time was coming up. Right. They had to put up or give up.
There's a 7-year, they're on a 7-year run with that. The last Fantastic flop was
Rise of the Silver Surfer, wasn't it?
Yeah, in 2007.
Yeah.
So they had 7 years to start production, which they started. But they had but there's a catch in the contract based on what happened with the 94 movie. They got 7 years to start production, 8 years to get it into the theater.
Ah, okay.
So we're looking at 23 before the next one to come out. And I guess they're talking Deadpool 2 might be taking the place of Fantastic Flop 2.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
Well, if it's up to fans like Maxence Vincent from Montreal, he knows exactly what he wants Fox to do, and that is to sell the rights or give the rights back to Marvel Studios. He believes in this so much. What did he do? He does what any self-respecting slacktivist will do and start up a petition on change.org. Yeah. Yes. If you go to change.org, you find this petition here. He says, Josh Trank's Fantastic Four. I think that's a on-purpose typo. Josh Tank instead of Josh Trank. Fantastic Four was a major disappointment. Critics and fans of the film panned the movie, and it performed poorly at the box office. Please sign this petition so we can have a great adaptation of Marvel's First Family once and for all. signed this petition also because, and this is in all caps, we don't want another sequel. Let the fans have what they want and make Fox sell the rights back to Marvel. Now, I usually laugh at change.org petitions because, well, they're like bouncing a rubber ball against a wall.
They're like, great.
You do something. You know, it makes you feel like you're doing something, makes you feel like you're getting exercise. Yeah, it's fun for a while, but
then it comes back to
it really doesn't do anything.
No.
However, at the time of this recording, this petition has 28,666 supporters.
That's intriguing.
Over 28,500. And if you scroll down a little bit, the most popular signature was 2 days ago, and it says Kevin Feige from Los Angeles, Louisiana. Yes, it says Los Angeles, L.A. I think if this is the real Kevin Feige, he'd have known that Los Angeles is not in Louisiana.
Exactly.
But the entirety of his message is, hi, Fox. But just the thought of Kevin Feige trolling change.org to get Fox to get the rights back. Okay. Well, it's not legit, but if it were, this would be epic level trolling.
Well, here's the question. Does Fox really need Fantastic Flop?
No.
But Flop needs Marvel.
Yes. Here's the thing. Fox has pretty much realized their ticket has an X on it.
Well, yeah, you can't spell Fox without X.
Right. And so that's where they're going to make their superhero money. I think Marvel knows it as well. I've said this before on the show. If you're Marvel, if you're Kevin Feige, if Fox wants the rights to make a TV show about the X-Men, you say it's going to cost you all the rights that you hold now that don't tie into the X-Men, which pretty much at this point is Fantastic Four.
Yep.
Right. But here's the thing. Okay, it's like you said, we know that Fantastic Four needs Marvel. Marvel doesn't need Fantastic Four. But if Marvel says, and we're saying, if we're playing this game, and Marvel says yes, okay. I honestly do not see Marvel doing another Fantastic Four movie. I see them using them more as a supplement for our other properties.
I would see this as a phase 5, maybe phase 6, something where they can, once they get the rights back, I mean, it's theirs to do with as they please. It's not going to hurt them to sit on this for a while.
No.
And let the smell of this stink pot go away.
But they can bring in Silver Surfer into Guardians.
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
They could bring in Silver Surfer into Infinity Wars.
Infinity Wars. He played a big role.
And they could somewhere, like you said, Phase 5, Phase 6, wherever, they could conceivably do something with the Illuminati.
Yeah. But here's another
thing.
I'm sorry, Michael. I'm sorry, but they could.
The Illuminati headed by Channing Tatum.
Ooh!
Oh! But you don't even have to use the entire group.
No.
What if you had like a spot in like say a Doctor Strange or a Captain America or some, or a future Hulk movie where they say we need a consultant and they go to Reed Richards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's to say they can't follow current post Secret Wars if they get the Fantastic Flop back and they go add Johnny into the Inhumans movie.
And eventually, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they bring S.H.I.E.L.D. back, because, I mean, really, as far as we know, by the time you come into the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., S.H.I.E.L.D. is still at this point, is not an official organization.
Right.
So we don't know if that's going to, if they have that plan for the future, but she could still be, because I guess, like, in the comics now, she's an agent.
She's like John Cena. Can't see her.
Okay. Can you picture Sue doing that? I just...
Yeah, I can see her doing that, but then she disappears for real.
Exactly.
So
maybe the movie would be better if she actually did that before she, you know, did her little invisibility thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Oh, my God.
This is scaring me that you actually know this, son.
No, what?
Can you smell what the fox... is dropping.
Yeah, we can smell what the fox is dropping. It's a worldwide skid mark on the cinematic screen.
There we go. Issue 81, the worldwide skid mark.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, according... Let me see if I can pull up the review that Derek from Weeby Geeks wrote on the site. Because we were talking about this on Weeby Geeks, and oh my lord, it's absolutely... Because there's really no superhero action for almost half the film. And I'm sorry, no, I'm not going to say spoiler alert, because I don't care. At that point, I don't
I look at it this way. If you cared enough about this movie to care enough what's going on in this movie, you've seen it already.
Oh my gosh.
And it's still not too late to go back and ask for your money back.
No, God.
So, according to Derek, his review, one of his best lines in his opening paragraph, "I hope you forgive me for ranting a bit on this topic. I'm sure you've read many bad reviews of this movie, but I will confirm that, yes, this movie is bad." Poorly written, bad dialogue, no character development, and a story that dragged on longer than the 2.5 car ride I took to Cape Cod this weekend.
Oh!
Or Titanic, the movie.
So, yeah. And the sad part in this whole thing? Thing has no pants.
Yeah, you know, that bothers me. No. I mean, even in the 70s, he had those little shorts. He had those little shorts.
He had grippies.
Yeah.
Pants. Pants are good.
What did we do, Fox? Dear Fox, what did we do that was so wrong that you had to give us a pantsless thing? That's what I want to know.
You know
there were no pebbles.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
You know, of all the sins that this movie has committed, a naked thing is probably one of the least offensive. And that is saying something.
See, you know what? See, here's the thing. I'm already not happy with Fox. I mean, this is 2015. I still haven't gotten over that they canceled Firefly, okay? And I just managed to get over, more or less, eventually, the Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. debacle, okay? But then
Are you dissing the Hoff?
Hey,
I'm not dissing the Hoff. I'm just saying there's better properties for him than to play Nick Fury. I'm just saying.
It got a higher rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
And you know what? I would probably...
Batman and Robin has a better rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. Yeah, this is one of the classic lines out of Derek's review. The reboot of the Fantastic Four is bad, period. Mike from the Weeby Geeks podcast. God, I wish I could meet this guy. Which you can find me co-hosting every week, put it best when he renamed this movie The Fantastic Flop. # Fantastic Flop. Let's spread the word. # Fantastic Flop.
You know, we passed that on, and we gave you credit for that on Geekwatch 1. We gave you credit for that.
And I've been saying this before even Eric joined the show. I've been calling it the Fantastic Flop forever now.
You know, I'm like, you know, all the little things that we were hearing, all the little rumors at the beginning, I'm like, okay, how many movies have we heard all these little rumors and there was a lot of hate, but then the movie come out and it wasn't as bad as people said? Okay, but... It's like the little pebble that starts rolling down the mountain and it's starting to collect, you know, a little bit of snow and a little bit more snow. And I honestly, the more I heard about this, along with all the behind the scenes crap that we were hearing, I was like, there is no way in the world that this thing could be as bad as they're saying. This cannot be the what? Superhero version of Ishtar. Look up Ishtar.
Okay. It's the Heaven's Gate of the superhero world.
I can honestly say I don't think we have 28%.
Ishtar was 28%.
Yes.
That means that Heaven's Gate was over 3 times as good as Fantastic Flop.
That really surprised you.
Heaven's Gate was 57%.
Kinda.
57%?
Yeah.
That's seven times as good.
See, okay, see,
Look up Johnny Dangerously.
I like that movie.
I did too, but let's face it, it was kind of a stinker.
Okay, yeah, it was.
Hold on, trying to get there. Johnny Dangerously.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
47%.
Oh, okay, I got one. Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
I've got one even better than that, but I will look this one up too. 42%.
Okay. Oh.
Now wait for it. And this is going to be our last one before we take a break. Well, actually, no. We might be able to play this game just a hair longer.
Oh, I got one if we got the time. I got one if we got the time.
You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guesses?
That movie has a lot of love. I will say 47%.
I will say 53%.
Thank you for playing. 14%.
14?
Still better than Fantastic Flop 2015.
Okay, I got one more to throw in here. Do any of you remember Brendan Fraser as Dudley Do-Right?
Yes.
Let me find it.
No. I found it. I have found it. The tomato meter, 16%.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What was
Fantastic
Flop? 8. Wow.
There's one. I have one I'm going to have to look up during the break. It's as bad as the Dudley Do-Right. I think it's as bad, if not worse.
Go ahead.
Double Dragon.
Double Dragon.
Yeah, Double Dragon.
Well, there was a video game.
Even
then. And a terrible, terrible, terrible movie. Terrible.
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 Okay.
Terrible.
Uh-huh.
Drum roll, please. Double Dragon.
Okay. All right.
8%.
Oh, my God. I think I'm a little sad right now because...
There is still hope Fantastic Four can beat this out and go lower.
Oh, my gosh.
I wish there was a way on this app, on the Flickster app, that we could look things up by ratings. Vacation, 25%.
I can give you ones that are worse than Fantastic Flop.
In the Army Now
with Pauly Shore from 1994.
That was terrible.
6%.
Okay.
And Mob.
But it's Pauly Shore. That's Pauly Shore, though.
Well, how about this?
Don't tell me Son-in-Law.
How about this?
Uh-huh.
Son of the Pink Panther
from 1993.
Oh, God.
6%.
There's still time.
Kazam, starring Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, I forgot about that.
6%.
Steel.
Okay, let's look. We'll look. We can look at...
License to Wed, number 7.
Yeah. It's not number, son. It's percentage.
Percent, whatever.
Steel. Yes.
Steel is 12%.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Everything is better than that.
Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2.
Uh-huh.
6%.
Ooh. I knew it was going to be bad, but wow.
Before Labor Day weekend, can Fantastic Flop hit below 6%?
Oh, how about... Hang on. One last one from me.
What?
Uh-huh. One last one from me.
Okay.
Giggly, Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
6%.
Funny thing is, I remember The Last Airbender. It wasn't that bad.
Well, yeah, The Last Airbender, the movie version, the live-action movie version, pulled 6%. Uh-huh.
Well, can we have a little section called, I don't know, Flop Watch? So between now and Labor Day, between now and Labor Day, we check it out.
That'd actually be pretty cool.
Here we go.
Can ask wait. Jarvis.
Hold on. I've got the perfect thing. I just don't remember where I put these things.
Oh, my gosh.
If you can only see my soundboard, it's insane.
I've seen your soundboard. It is.
How insane. On a scale of 1 to 10, how insane.
This scale goes to 11.
Okay,
it's just the way I roll.
Never mind, son.
It's just the way I roll. It's one more than 10. Okay, where did I put that then?
About 12. It's two more than 10.
Are you kidding me? I can't find it. Ah, here we go. Flop Watch.
Right back.
Breaking news.
Yes! I like it.
Eric mentioned something that he wanted to ask Mac and I a question, since we're the... Yeah. The least...
Fantastic Four said.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, as you two know the least about the Fantastic Four, what kind of movie, just from watching the trailers, what kind of movie do you think that would have been?
Okay,
what would you think the Fantastic Four were just from watching the trailers?
The first ones or this one?
No, I'm talking about watching these trailers for this Fantastic Flop movie. What kind of people, who would you think the Fantastic Four were?
From this one, Redneck Hillbillies.
I said Fantastic Four, not the blue collar comedy tour.
I'm aware of that.
Okay. Seriously, what would you have said? Mike, what about you?
Would attendees at Lilith Fair count?
Okay.
Service Lollapalooza, maybe?
Yeah.
Well.
All right. Definitely not superheroes.
People who work at gas stations.
With this trailer, you would still think it's, you know, Marvel Comics meets Sky High.
Ooh.
Look that one up on Rotten Tomatoes.
This is going to be bad.
I can already
tell.
Yeah, that's probably going to be bad. Okay, that's what I'm wanting to know, because I think part of the problem was that there was an identity crisis with this group.
Yeah.
They were Marvel. They've been called Marvel's first family. So they are superheroes. They go out and they save the world. They save the cosmos. And so you've got just nothing.
By the way, Sky High, 73%.
I didn't mind Sky High, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I mean, it was what it was.
Right.
It's not Marvel's Avengers, but it's
no.
it was a cute take on the whole superhero genre.
Yeah.
And it had Linda Carter.
Yeah, I was about to say, and Linda Carter in high heels, even at her age, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
She's hot.
The only other person I would take at that age would be Erin Gray.
Yeah.
Just me.
I mean, she's still gorgeous. Both of them, still gorgeous. But, yeah, that's just something that I wanted to ask from the both of you and get a semi-intelligent answer out of at least one of you.
I'm sorry I disappointed.
Well, that's all right. We can't have everything. Where would we put it?
Definitely not here in the underground.
Man, above cave. Ground, underwater, subwoofer, volcano lair.
Yes. I'm the one who wrote that. I can't say it right. Oh,
I say it at least once a day to keep myself in practice.
Well, there you go.
Nick Fury, so, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., starring the Hoff, 16%.
So that's... Oh, wow. Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren's The Punisher.
Yeah.
28%.
I kind of liked it.
You know, it was good for what it was.
Yeah. It was. All right. So, no, that was just what I wanted to get out there. So, I'm kind of done with Fantastic Four now. At least for the rest of this episode. This issue.
Or this world.
This episode. Yeah.
Yeah, this episode.
The 1990 Captain America. 9%.
Ooh, really?
9%.
It beat.
Yes. Okay. Looking up Doctor Strange. Sorry. Like I said, that was the 90.
You know, did that actually hit the theater? Like, I remember seeing the poster, and I remember seeing it in the video store, but I wasn't sure. Did it actually hit the theater?
No. It was TV only.
Okay, I was about to say, it's one of those direct-to-video ones?
Yeah.
21%. 21%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess let's get into some Agent Carter news.
Yeah, well, okay, we have a little bit of a spoiler, so a season 2 spoiler thing going on right now.
Spoiler.
It looks like Hydra is trying to mess with my computer here at the moment.
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra!
I get it just chills me to the bone every time I hear that. All right, so as we know, we're all gearing up for season two of Agent Carter, and we already know that she's moving from New York to the West Coast, so we have all that information. But what we're looking at now is she's getting a new nemesis, actually a nemesis from the Marvel Universe, Madame Mask.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know who that is.
I know.
Madame Mask was introduced in 1968. She's a daughter of the, at least in the comics, she's a daughter of an infamous crime lord who goes on to follow in his footsteps. And she was even romantically attached to Tony Stark. So we don't know exactly how far or how much of the original version they're going to keep of this. But that's where, but we are getting a classic Marvel villain. And we already know that, well, it won't be Tony Stark in this one. I believe we're going to be looking at Howard Stark because
there's nothing to say that this can't happen with Howard Stark.
Right.
Yeah, this is still supposed to take place like a, this is a year. If I remember the original concept, each season was supposed to be a different year.
Right, so I don't know how much of a time jump we're talking about for season two, but we are getting a classic character who may or may not be tied to the events at the end of season one. So
okay.
So yeah, it's gonna be nice to see a little bit of classic Marvel tied in with the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which Agent Carter fall? I see Agent Carter more as cinematic than televised universe, but you know what I mean.
Right. Speaking of cinematic universe, I think Eric had an interesting story.
Yeah.
And we have to bring Mac in on this one.
Okay. Mac, if I were to say the words Ronda Rousey, what would go off in your head?
Nothing.
Okay.
It sounds familiar.
How about last four fights, 128 seconds?
Yeah. Of all her fights, she's like
25 minutes.
Like, yeah.
And change.
Only one of her, I think it's like a dozen matches, has gone beyond the first round. She is what they call a mixed martial arts fighter.
Yes,
she knocked out her last opponent in 34 seconds.
Her quickest is like 14.
Less than the time that you normally spend in commercial break watching TV has been, you know, she's knocked people out.
Wow.
Okay. So let's just say she's one tough girl. Okay. I think that's an understatement, but okay. All right. She was on Reddit doing an interview where you basically ask her anything. A Reddit user asked her which superhero she would love to play. And she responded, quote, "A lot of good ones have been taken, but I'd love to die for Miss Marvel." Now, right now, that's a young Muslim Pakistani American girl that's got the title. But we believe that she means Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
A.K.A. Carol Danvers, who used to be Miss Marvel, also used to be called Warbird, also used to be Binary, and a former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yep.
Yeah, I knew that.
You know who this character is.
Yeah, Captain Marvel. She was exposed to Kree, I think it was, energy.
Yep. Kree energy, yes.
And she got powers from the energy.
Yes.
From a man called Marvel.
Yes. Very good. Very good. She's also a character that you can recruit in Marvel's Avengers.
Assemble.
She's also in Marvel's Avengers, but this is the Facebook game. Marvel Avengers Alliance, I think
it
is.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can recruit her.
She's also in Ultimate Alliance where she has her binary skin as well.
Yes.
Which I was impressed. They went that deep with it.
Yeah.
I know she's
and she's also
on, Future Fight and what's the
and
other
she's
game?
Also on a TV show.
She's also been part of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
So is Nova. Yes.
Along with Nova. And also along with the Avengers in the comics and on the cartoon. So Ronda Rousey wants to play Captain Marvel. Personally, there's been a rumor about Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, if Ronda Rousey could act, I'm not saying that she can't. I'm just saying I've not seen anything of her where she's playing something other than her.
Right.
Does that make sense? Tonto.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you have, like, Dave Bautista, who played Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
That went off fairly well. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, he's done really well.
Yeah.
He has.
So
I really don't know of a pro wrestler who hasn't, because they're already with the script reading.
Right.
Yeah, pro wrestlers have to be actors as well. But
MMA
she's not a wrestler, though. Yeah.
Well, see, I liked her in Expendables 3, but at the same time, it felt like she was probably still playing herself, you know?
Yeah.
Now, she definitely was...
Furious 7, she is definitely playing herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, on our way home, I was talking about this with my wife, and because she's really big into Captain Marvel. And she said, like you, Eric, she has no doubt that she can handle the combat and the fighting aspects of it.
Yeah.
But she questions her acting ability because Captain Marvel, or Carol Danvers, is also a bit of a... She's really sarcastic.
Yeah.
You know.
She's not it lacking for personality.
No.
That is something you can't have somebody in there that can't act. You have to have somebody. And to Marvel's credit, they have done a really good job of casting people. That's been one of their tremendous strengths.
Yes.
It's like, have you guys found, have you ever seen a member of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that you thought just did a bad job?
No.
From Marvel Studios?
Marvel Studios.
No.
I mean, I learned from, like, I at first questioned their casting of, you know, Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. I mean, because I'm like, I couldn't see him, but...
And now you can't see anybody else.
No. And I questioned Paul Rudd, and I should have known better, because now I can't see anybody else. You know, they're very conscientious when it comes to their casting.
Bradley Cooper.
You did?
I questioned Bradley Cooper.
Who?
Rocket.
Oh.
I questioned that until I heard it.
Right.
Once I saw a clip that had Rocket in it, and I'm just saying, okay, you know, I'm convinced. So if they do cast Rousey as Captain Marvel, then it's going to be because they think that she can pull it off.
Right.
And right. At this point, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Again, anyone can be taught.
And you know what? Marvel Studios, they're very protective of their properties. They have a great run going. And you know what? We just have to, if they say, you know what, we're going to give you the shot, then Marvel's proved me wrong twice. Marvel Studios has proved me wrong twice. So, you know what? I will step back and... You know, let them, well, not that I have any say in what they do, but just trust them that we're going to get quality out of the decision.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I mean, we thought Ant-Man was going to be the one that broke the streak.
Right.
It's not broke the streak.
No.
Of what?
No.
Of good movies.
Oh. Ant-Man looked good.
Yeah.
To me, at least.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, even when you look at the televised universe, Daredevil out the park.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, Agent Carter. There were questions about Agent Carter, but Agent Carter was out the park. You know.
Right.
Now I was a little down on Agent Ward and Sky when those characters were introduced.
Right.
But as they have grown, as the seasons have progressed, and mm-hmm. the characters have been developed, I've been proved wrong there too.
Yeah. For me, it was the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or the first half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., season one.
Right.
That's what I questioned.
But once you see, once you got to Winter Soldier...
The whole uprising, yeah.
Yeah.
But
uprising, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a couple episodes before that.
Right.
But to me, though, it's like, okay, this show's not getting canceled because they need it to stay on the air to tie into the Avengers.
Yes.
Now that they've called the Inhumans movie, they've got to keep this show on as long as they can to get to that movie.
They got, what, 4 more years?
It's 2017, right?
Right.
Okay, I'm sorry.
2019. It's 2019.
Yeah, 2019.
Well, you know, I am a longtime Marvel fan from way back, okay? And I could have cared less about the Inhumans. I won't lie. I could care less about the Inhumans until now.
Well, the Inhumans were like just a blip on Marvel's radar up until the point they needed the Inhumans to fill in for the mutants.
Yep. And you know what? I didn't see that coming. That was completely out of left field, and it makes complete sense to me now.
Mm-hmm. So now, with the events that happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel Studios has just eliminated any need for mutants.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, with the fish oil capsules, you know, basically now you have the catalyst to create super beings.
Yes.
And so now you don't need genetic mutation.
No. You don't need grease suits that are animated.
No, you don't. On that subject, are we ready to move on to comic books now?
We are. And let's start off like we started a couple weeks ago with the Marvel Unlimited pick of the week.
All right. And this go around, this week's issue, we have Mac giving us his Marvel Unlimited pick. And Mac, which one is that?
That would be Deadpool 2012 issue 1. It was published November 7th, 2012. And it was added to Marvel Unlimited the 6th of May 2013.
Okay.
Rating?
No.
The writer was Gary Dugan.
And the cover artist, Jeff Darrow.
That last name sounds so familiar, don't you think?
Yeah,
Dum Dugan.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think they're related.
I know.
Okay.
And the cover artist was
Jeff Darrow.
Okay. And here's its description.
Okay, don't forget him too.
Thank you.
Dead former United States presidents from George Washington to Gerald Ford have been resurrected, and that's bad. The Marvel heroes can't be the ones to stop them. Someone is needed with the reputation, skills, and implausible
deniability
to take out these
monsters
and chiefs. Now it's time for Deadpool. In Wade we trust.
So this is Deadpool. This is Deadpool president.
But you know what's funny?
Of the United States.
You know what's funny, guys? You know what's funny?
What?
On the front cover of issue 1, he's fighting Godzilla.
Yeah.
And
or a four-armed Godzilla.
Spoiler alert, but him and Thor come out of his stomach.
Okay. I will say this. I did read this issue once I knew which one he was going to pick.
Uh-huh.
And Deadpool reminds me a lot of Lobo over at DC.
Yeah.
That explains it.
Yes.
My wife is a huge Deadpool a huge Lobo fan.
And yes. It's kind of like, yes, there's a lot of blood and gore, and there's a lot of uber violence that just...
It's disturbing.
Yes, it is. I'm going to call that.
In some
sense. This is not the comic book that I would actually have you read. But you did come up with this on your own. And there's a sense of humor to it that just is...
hilarious.
Well, yes, it is hilarious. But it's kind of irreverent, and it's kind of... It is cornball and campy just enough to keep it from being dark.
Right.
And that's what I think a lot of people get wrong when they try to do something like Deadpool. And it's why I think Ryan Reynolds actually has the right take on this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's lighthearted gore fest.
Oh, yeah.
That's about the way that I could... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a slightly bloodier Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Okay.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Good movie.
All right. So now it is that time that we all look forward to. So hey ho,
let's go.
So this would be for August 19th. the Wednesday before my birthday.
Well, a happy early birthday.
So all you listeners, email us at birthday at nonexistingemail.com for my wish list. Now this is for August 19th, 2015. And it's our new comic book day picks for the week. And Eric, why don't you start off?
Okay. My first pick of the week is the last of a series. It is Kanan number 5, written by Greg Weisman, penciled by Pepe Larraz. Caleb has been captured by clone troopers Gray and Stiles. Can he turn his back on his Jedi training completely? The final chapter of the secret origin of Star Wars Rebels is Kanan Jarrus.
Now, here's a tidbit. I've been reading the series, and I'm digging it.
I read like the first issue or two, but you say you like it.
I do like it because it gets more in depth on why or how he becomes Kanan instead of Caleb. But this next month, you're going to see Kanan number 6. So the whole last Padawan was a 5-story or 5-issue arc. Again, like you said, telling the secret origin of how he goes from Caleb to Kanan.
I like that idea.
And then it picks up from there as the adventures of Kanan.
Okay. All right. You've convinced me. I'm gonna add this to my pull list now.
So Kylan, your first pick.
My first pick is A Force number 4. The writer is Marguerite Bennett. The penciler is Jorge Molina. With the fate of Arcadia hanging in the balance, a traitor in A Force's rank is revealed. But why would she sell out her teammates? A Force is already on the pull list. I'm liking the book, and it's more than just a female Avengers, in my opinion. So I'm enjoying it, and yeah, this has been satisfactory for me so far.
My first pick is Hail Hydra number 3. Nomad stands his ground. The teachings of Steve Rogers endure. With the world crashing down on him, Ian Rogers struggles to get home. Who is Poison, and why is she willing to help Nomad? To see Marvel during this whole thing with Secret Wars come out with a villain's title, so to speak, this is what's led me to picking these each week. Plus, it's Rick Remender, who I absolutely love his writing. So, that's my first pick. So I guess we'll go on to number 2s. Okay, our second pick of the week.
Oh, yes.
Number 2 is called Fantastic Flop.
Yes.
As heard on the roast of the Fantastic Flop. So, Eric, your number 2 pick.
My number 2 pick would be S.H.I.E.L.D. number 9. Written by Al Ewing, penciled by Lee Ferguson. We have The Man Called Death. Oversized anniversary issue. Wade, Ferguson, Kirby, Steranko. A commemorative 50th anniversary story that spans the past and the present and unites Phil Coulson and Nick Fury Sr. in a unique cross-time adventure to answer a riddle that lies at the heart of the origins of S.H.I.E.L.D. Who is the man called Death? Includes a sequence penciled by Jack Kirby and inked by Jim Steranko that has never seen print as part of a story before. Wow. Plus, and I know you're going to like this, Mike, the return of Dum Dum Dugan and the birth of the new Howling Commandos. The very first S.H.I.E.L.D. story from 1965.
Oh.
And the pilot presentation sequence that inspired the creation of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Awesome. I'm going to have to pick that one up.
Yes, I am too. At this point, this has really just got to be added to my pull list because I have enjoyed every issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I have read.
Yeah. So, Kylan, your number 2 pick.
Okay. All right, y'all. Secret Wars. Secret Love, number 1. The writer is Various. the penciler is Various. The cover artist is David Nakayama.
Sounds like I need to put some music behind this for you.
Really? You really need to. Because I'm about to get a voice.
No?
When worlds collide, can her love survive? Robbie Reyes, Kamala Khan, Typhoid Mary, Karen Page, Matt Murdock, and many, many more. Secret Love Affairs. Secret Wars. Secret Love, number one. I'm sorry, I had to. I could not. I had to. And just for kicks and giggles, I think I may pick this up.
My second pick is Guardians Team Up, number 10. Writer is Tim Seeley. In an attempt to get revenge on his bounty-hunting archenemy, Macho Gomez, Deadpool has set a trap, but he's managed to snag one very tough, space-faring rodent, Rocket Raccoon. Now the two marks have to stand each other long enough to navigate a maze filled with some of the most dangerous critters ever to drop guano on the Marvel Universe, the Drac-ilars. So, I'm going to be picking up the last three picks for everyone, because at the time of this recording, when we were recording, we ran into some technical glitches here at the lair, and could not get Eric and Kylan back online from our respective parts of the lair. So, Eric's third pick for this week is Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 17. The last day of Loki. As the Marvel Universe dies, there is time for just one last story. The story of a showdown you've been waiting for. It's Loki versus Loki. At the very end of it all, that is. And the only one that will take a bow when the curtain falls, that's all, folks. Kylan's third pick for the week is Armor Wars, number 4. Hostile takeover, Arno and Tony clash, but who will be left standing? Wilson Fisk's grip on Technopolis. This is Underbelly Titans. Finally, the origin of everyone's crippling virus is revealed. Then my last pick, I went with this one partially because of I'm hearing rumors that it might turn into a TV series. George Romero's Empire of the Dead, Act 3, number 4. The penultimate issue of George Romero's new horror epic arrives. The warring factions of rebels have made it into the city. Who will win the battle for New York, and what will be left of it? There will be there's guerrilla warfare, and there's zombie guerrilla warfare. Is it safer outside the city? Runyon and his crew gamble to find out. So those are our picks for this week. Thank everyone for joining. Next week we will probably do some D23 Marvel recaps as well. Until next time, Jarvis, if you would please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope, just time to go dark.
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.